Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hemmerker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
A Nurse's Revenge by Rebecca Hemlock. Could her twin sister, a decorated police officer, be a criminal mastermind? When travel nurse Michelle Blackburn's twin has been murdered, she comes back to her hometown to find her killer. Things quickly turn complicated when she comes face to face with the man who shattered her heart. Detective Aiden St. James is determined to solve Anne Blackburn's murder, but too much about this case doesn't add up. The Westview PD has had their hands full with a local drug ring, and a new lead makes Anne their prime suspect. But Michelle is certain her twin wasn't a criminal. After someone attempts to kidnap Michelle, Aiden realizes she could be right about Anne being framed and vows to keep her safe for old time's sake. Forced to accept the help and protection of the last person she feels she can trust, Michelle is determined to bring her sister's killer to justice while discovering the importance of letting go of the past and understanding God's timing.
On this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense, my guest is Rebecca Hemlock, an award-winning Christian fiction author of more than 10 books. So welcome to my show, Rebecca.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
So I'm really excited just to be able to talk about writing because, you know, as writers, we love to talk about what we write about. And I'm always curious to find out how writers discover their own genre. So, of course, we're all romantic suspense authors here. So what was it about romantic suspense novels that made you want to start writing them, or why did you start with this genre?
Well, as a Christian romantic suspense author, I think we can all say, you know, Lynette Eason. basically on her books. but just how she captures, you know, real people in her stories. It's not, oh, this is a fictitious character. No, it's like I'm watching somebody's life play out and things that they've gone through and things that it's like, well, no Christian should go through that. Well, we do, you know, and it's just, I just really love everything about the genre.
Yes, me too. And I don't think I could write a straight romance. Maybe if you paid me a lot of money, I'd try, but I'm always like, who's going to die? Why aren't they running? What is going on? Who is after them? What's the mystery? I love the puzzles and the writing of it, but it can be hard sometimes to write it. So what is for you, what is the hardest part of writing romantic suspense?
Oh, well, that's a good question. See, for me, a lot of people will mistake it for a mystery story because of the puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody told me once that think of it as suspense comes before the crime. Thriller is during the crime. Mystery is after the crime. So, you know, of the heroine. But I find it hard to plan out a murder, you know, because it's like, am I getting into, you know, dark waters here, waters I shouldn't be. So it's kind of hard, you know, especially as a Christian, to navigate, okay, how do I do this, you know, without going too far? You know what I mean?
Yes, yeah.
A lot of readers will, this is wrong, you know, killing is wrong. How can you be a Christian? And so you have to do it in such a way to where it also doesn't offend your readers. So that is the hard.
Yeah. I mean, it is that fine line, you know. I mean, you want it to be realistic because, I'm sorry, you know, people kill people all the time, or people are after others, you know, for, you know, I mean, there's sin in the world and we see it play out around us, and Christians, it touches us sometimes. You know, we're not immune to those hardships and stuff. So keeping it realistic and yet clean and, you know, and have that redemption at the end, I think, is one of the hardest and the fun. For me, it's just really fun, you know, to write that puzzle in the mystery element. I usually do not reveal my villains until the end. So I like to have that mystery. Not all suspense writers write like that, which is so much fun to have such a variety of the way we do it. Yeah. So what are some of the questions you hear when you say you write romantic suspense? What are some of the things that people might say to you or
Well, I mostly get that, you know, well, how can you do that as a Christian? Because, of course, it is confusing, you know. Well, I tell them, well, I know people who have had loved ones murdered. And, I mean, it's a horrible thing, but I'm here to use that experience to help other people, get through that. Because, you know, as human beings, our initial reaction is to blame God. And, for example, my husband, when he was a kid, his best friend was murdered by his brother. It was actually, you know, with an axe. So my husband, you know, has had to work through that. And he's a believer as well. So seeing his journey, how he's overcome that pain has been, you know, I get to share that with other people. And I actually had a lady come to me and ask me why God would allow that. And I get to share the gospel as I'm sharing about my writing. So it's kind of a, you know, a two for one basically. But yeah, it always seems to be the hard questions I get about, you know, murder and death and things like that. So that's typically what I get.
Yeah, and I also, I get the, well, how do you write it? Where do your ideas come from? that's a big question that I get a lot from people who aren't writers or just readers. And that's always a fun one to answer because I don't always have an answer. I mean, sometimes it's an article I read. I mean, a few books, it was an article I read, and I thought, oh, well, what if this, that, and this? And then one of my books was loosely based on a true story that happened to a friend of mine. And if I had told you the whole real story, you would have said, oh, no, that's in a book. It was so out there. You know, but most of the time it's just that what if, right, kind of, what if this happened or what if that happened and going along with that, with my romantic suspense hat on, which is so fun. Do you have a trouble coming up with ideas? Where do yours generally come from?
Sometimes I feel like I do, but most of the time I look through my idea book and I'm like, okay, I'm never in my life going to write all of these stories. For example, me and my husband was traveling a couple weeks ago and we stopped at a gas station and there was a newspaper there and it said, you know, man stabbed in a grocery store. And it's like lightning hits you and you play that, you know, you play that scene out, like how would that happen? How could somebody sneak in, you know, a knife and, you know, and a lot of ideas just hit you like lightning sometimes, and you have to write them down before you forget it. So there's a lot of ideas. It's plotting that gets hard.
Yes, I would agree, Rebecca. I mean, I can churn out ideas till the cows come home, but when you start to, you know, spin that out into a book, and I think that's one of the hardest things for those who don't write to understand. The ideas, I don't know, for me, the ideas are easy. Like you said, it's the actual, can this actually sustain a whole book, or is it just an idea?
Exactly.
So that can get super tricky. But, yeah, I hear you on looking at things or hearing a snippet or of conversation or seeing someone and go, huh, I wonder what what they're talking about over there. I eavesdrop on people way too much. Okay. So, which leads me to the, you know, what do you wish, you know, readers knew about the romantic suspense genre?
Well, with that one, it's I wish they would take the time to read these books before, you know, because like I said, I get, you know, typically negative questions about it, and I tell them, I mean, I've given away books. Hey, look, just read it. If you don't like it, then you don't like it, but just read it, and then they will, you know, contact me. Oh my gosh, you know, I've never read suspense before. Who else can I read? Who do you write similar to? So I just tell them, just try it, you know, just try it. If you don't like it, then you don't like it. It's not for everyone, but just try it. If you like mysteries, if you like, you know, like CSI, police, you know, things like that, just try it. So I would really like for readers to just try it before they come with, you know, with questions a lot, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's a great, you know, advice for anyone. If you, you know, until you've read it, it's hard to say whether you like it or not. You might not like it. I mean, I'm perfectly fine. If a reader reads my book and they don't like it, well, you know, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's okay. It's not for everyone, and I realize that. But don't paint us all with the same brush until you've tried us. Yeah. So let's talk about writing and fitting it into our busy lives. How do you, where does writing fit into your life? How do you find the time to write? Because I know that can be a struggle, whether you're a full-time writer or you have a day job and or kids that you're homeschooling or taking care of or whatever. So how does that work for you?
Well, it is a matter of fitting it in because, well, I say that and then I say I write full-time, but I mean, that's not necessarily true because even though, you know, writing is my full-time job, I do have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I am homeschooling them, but I'm also pursuing my master's degree. So, yeah, just it's a matter of, okay, you know, the kids are down for a nap for, you know, but let's bring out, you know, just type as fast as I can before I hear somebody crying, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a matter getting it in where I can.
Yeah, no, I hear you. When my kids were younger, it was a lot of, you know, I had to train myself to write, and if I had 15 minutes, I needed to not waste that 15 minutes.
Exactly.
I was going to get some words on that page.
Yeah.
So, and my challenge now, even though my kids are teenagers, you know, it's still a challenge to find times to write. I used to write first thing in the morning, but I started a new part-time job that takes me out of the house. So now I have to, you know, now I have to write later in the day, and that's been a challenge to do that. I've been more successful about it since I've been just how myself stop making excuses for not writing. Right? I mean, that's to me that's the bottom line. Hey, stop. You are capable. You can do this. Just do it. That's kind of self-talk. We have to talk to ourselves kind of rough sometimes as writers, don't we?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, to get it done. So, well, I am so glad that you came on my show. We are out of time. It always goes by so fast, Rebecca, but thank you for sharing about your work and your writing life with my listeners.
Thank you so much for having me on here. This was so much fun.
Great. I'm glad. I'm so glad. And listeners, as usual, stay tuned and you'll hear an excerpt from one of her latest books, A Nurse's Revenge.
Now an excerpt from A Nurse's Revenge by Rebecca Hemlock. Michelle Blackburn gripped the steering wheel, forcing herself to take a slow, deep breath to keep a sob from erupting in her throat. It wasn't supposed to end like this. She was meant to have come back to Westview and reconnect with Anne after going their separate ways 8 years ago. Now, Anne was dead, and Michelle was the only person in the world that could claim her body. Once again, Westview brought her pain. What is it with this town? For years, she dreaded coming back here. This place held so many painful memories that she had to lock them away in order to move on with her life. But when Anne said she missed her and wanted her to come back, Michelle had to admit she missed her twin, too. In fact, Michelle was a little excited to come back and reconnect with her sister. Michelle sucked in a shaky breath. She'd been on the highway heading here when she'd gotten the call. Her sister's body had been discovered on the bank of the Ohio River, and there were signs on her body that suggested she'd been murdered. "Turn right in 100 feet," the GPS commanded. The address of the Westview coroner's office seemed familiar to her. When the old brick building came into view, she realized she had been here before. It used to be the doctor's office when she was a teenager, the place where she decided she wanted to become a nurse. The once nostalgic image in her mind of this place darkened. It was now the place where she'd have to say goodbye to her sister. More images from her past flashed in her mind as she parked her car. The engine stopped. She didn't get out immediately because she wasn't sure she could do this. But she didn't have a choice. Arrangements for Anne's body needed to be made so she'd have a decent final resting place. Michelle picked up her phone and grabbed the car door handle. She was just about to put it open when her phone buzzed. The screen lit up. A notification appeared that she'd gotten a text from an unknown number. "Stay away from Westview or else." Her head jerked back. She frowned. What in the world? Who would send her such a thing? The only reason she came here was for Anne, and with her gone, she had no reason to want to stay. She would have left right after the funeral if she hadn't signed a 6-month contract at Westview General. She'd get out of it if she could. Fear built in her chest. First, her sister was found dead, and now she received a threatening text. She was half tempted to start her car and just keep driving. She could let the county take care of Anne's body, but at least Michelle would be alive. She couldn't do that. If she didn't do this for Anne, she'd regret it for the rest of her life. After a quick scan around her car, she climbed out and shoved her phone into her pocket. She'd deal with the text later. The front lobby was exactly as she remembered. She'd pictured this lobby so many times in her mind, every time a patient asked her when she knew she wanted to be a nurse. She approached the front desk. "I'm supposed to meet with Dr. Grace. I'm Michelle Blackburn." The middle-aged lady sitting on the other side of the desk picked up a landline and repeated the information. Moments later, she was following Dr. Grace down the corridor. Being a nurse, she'd seen her share of dead bodies and was never bothered by it. But this time, it would be different. When she passed through those big, swinging doors, she would have to identify a body that looked just like her. It had been less than 24 hours since she'd gotten the news that her twin sister, Anne, had been murdered. The last family she had on this earth, that she knew of. "Through here, hun." The woman extended her arms to give the doors a push. A mixture of dread and despair whirled inside Michelle. There was no way she was going to make it through this without completely losing it. "I need your strength and comfort, God." Keeping her thoughts on him was the only way she'd made it this far. She had to rely on God's strength a lot these days. It was the only consistent thing in her life. Not her parents, who had abandoned them at a police station when they were 11 years old. Not the man she thought she'd marry who ended up abandoning her too. Not her job, and not her twin sister. Anne was the only person who could get away with it. They'd been through a lot together as legally abandoned teens in the foster system. And when Anne told her she was pursuing her dream of being a police officer and attending the Lexington Police Academy, she urged Michelle to chase her dream as well. Travel nursing made it hard to maintain any relationships. They entered a room with a slab at its center. A white sheet draped over a human form felt like a punch in the gut. She followed Dr. Grace to the bedside and watched as he pulled the sheet down just enough to reveal a young blonde head. The tears poured from her eyes, and she sucked in a gasp.
"Oh, Anne!"
Michelle threw herself over her sister's lifeless body. Who could have done this? Why? The petite hand of Dr. Grace touched her back.
"I'm so sorry, Michelle. I'll need you to sign some papers. Then you should go get some rest. We'll let you know as soon as we complete the autopsy."
The cue that it was time for her to leave made her feel like she was being dragged out. She didn't need the autopsy report to know what that bruising on her sister's neck meant. Anne had been strangled. As her hand gripped her twin's icy grasp, she silently promised she would do whatever it took to find the monster who did this. She was just about to let go of her sister's hand when she heard the squeak of the doors opening and closing.
"I'm so sorry to disturb you. I'm Detective St. James."
The voice was one she knew very well and hadn't heard since high school.
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.